Depression again, we get all of what you put into it, like a walk of life. If you're good enough, go out and get it, no more about it. Your mother sends you down to the shop for a pound's worth of goods, and she gives you 50 pence. You can't get the pound's worth of goods, can you? Let me find out there from the war court today. No more about it, they made all the running, that was it. Put the ball over the bar and the back of it, and that's it. No ifs, no buts. There's no sympathy in this game for anybody.
Matt O'Callaghan of the Weekly Observer and the Vale Star. Matt, welcome back, I suppose, to the new year and what has been an avalanche of GAA as we settle into only January. We've Harty Cup, we have, the Sigurdsson and Fitzgibbon on the horizon. We've a National League started at the end of the month. We've Camogie starting. We have the Munster Senior Hurling League. It's like we were never away, Matt.
It is indeed. Happy New Year to you, Raphael, and to all the listeners. But I was looking at it yesterday and thinking about it, yesterday, reflecting on it. It's an absolute clutter of games, and we're not into mid-January yet. For instance, this weekend we're really into the meat of the season because. This week already we've had the four Harty Cup quarterfinals, and on Sunday and over the weekend we have the finals of the pre-season. The McGrath Cup is on, the Munster Senior League final is on Sunday in the Gaelic grounds, and believe it or not, the National Camogie League, which is starting a bit earlier this year, is down to commence on Sunday, when Limerick have a very, very appetising home game against Dublin in McNeville Park.
Yeah, and look, I suppose, Matt, from that point of view, only one place to start, and that was yesterday's Harty Cup games. You were in Dundrum, I believe, for Our Ladies and Hospital. Look, Matt, going into this game, I would have tipped Our Ladies of Temple more, but I would have been looking at it from the point of view that the hospital wouldn't have enough to stick with them, but that they had done extremely well to get to this point in Harty, you know. But I was doing them a discredit because they gave them an absolute scare and very nearly pulled off a massive shock.
Well, you're correct there. I was there. I think everybody believed that it was going to be, as you said, Temple Moor, we're going to safely navigate it. Everybody believed that, mind you, except the people that really matter, the people of John the Baptist, who believed that they were in with a right chance. And they came well prepared, well primed, hit the ground running. And you would have to say that were it not for a very, very scrappy goal in the 37th minute, that you could be looking at John the Baptist facing Middleton in the semi-final. But massive credit to them, because they will be the first to put their hands up and say they had a poor performance in the final game of the group stages against St. Coleman's College. Now, prior to that, they had beaten Kilmarnock and they had beaten Blackwater Community School from Lismore. And I saw all those games, and I thought they were impressive against Lismore, but I was hugely disappointed with their showing against St. Coleman's. But I had this thing at the back of my head: if they brought to the table the type of performance that they put on against Blackwater and the type of approach to that game, that they would be capable of worrying anybody, and that's exactly the way it worked out. Now, they went 3 points clear after halftime. They were a point up at halftime. They went 3 points clear, and then they conceded. It was a sloppy, sloppy goal to concede. But they came back, and they came back. And the All-Ireland champions just could not put them away. And you'd have to say about in injury time, Dylan O'Shea, right over on the left, right on the sideline, he took a pot from goal, from play. And it looked to be bang on target until the very last minute. It tailed in and it hit the upright and bounced back into play and it was cleared. Had that gone over, we could have definitely different set of circumstances. went down the other end then, and in a sort of a melee or a schmazzle in front of the goal, one of those things on a heavy day, nothing malicious or anything like that, but just a scramble, let's say, would be the best way to describe it. Referee Rory McCann spotted an infringement, somebody to either touch the ball on the ground or pick the ball on the ground, and it was a free in straight in front of the goal, and that was the cruel way in which John the Baptist went out.
Yeah, Matt, look, they've been knocked out, but I think this is a club and a school and, you know, a crop of players, teachers and coaches that can be extremely proud of everything they've achieved, not only this year, but last year and going back the years. They really have been a shining light for hurling in that part of Limerick.
Well, what I say is full marks to the four lads behind them. David Belfry, Michael Martin, James Devereaux and Ollie Coffey. They did an absolutely fantastic job. They have done a fantastic job. This was their maiden voyage on their return on their return to the Half D Cup. And it has been in many ways a continuation of last year when they went through to All-Ireland glory in winning the All-Ireland B, and they certainly built on it, and anybody that had any worries about them cutting it at this edge, at this level, certainly they certainly dispelled all those fears. They settled into the Half D Cup, and they consolidated in the Half D Cup, and they weren't at all out of place, and you just look at the record, played four games, all right, they won two, but the manner in which they went out was absolutely heartbreaking, and I cannot stress that enough, but I cannot give credit enough to the type of performance and the manner in which they performed yesterday. They were a credit to hospital, they were a credit to their school, to their families, they were a credit to Limerick.
Yeah, and look, I suppose, like you said, they will go away and look forward to next year, and you know, we'll kind of, you know, they can come back into that, you know, always coming into it this year. There was still that unknown of would they be able to cut it at the top end of Harty and the Harty Cup grade, but I suppose that doubt is removed now, and they can go away looking forward to next year, thinking, look, we can punch at this level, and we can do some business at this level.
Absolutely, Raphael. They can go away now, and there will be a considerable number of the players still available next year. And because if you recall last year, they certainly gave a very creditable performance in reaching the semi-final of the Dean Ryan Cup last year, and they were a bit unlucky to be. I think they were beaten 7 or 8 points by St. Cormans, who went on to win it last year, and certainly the John the Baptist performance that day was far better than the final scoreline reflected, and they will have those to build on and for the coming year, and I know that they have had their first voyage into the Half D Cup behind them. They will certainly hit it with much more confidence next year. And any doubts about whether they would or they wouldn't be able to cut it at this level, I think they have been dispelled at this point.
Yeah, Matt. Look, that brings us on to the other Limerick side that had interest in the Half D Cup yesterday, and that was Arsgull Rhys. Look, Matt, I was at the game in Charleville yesterday, and to say that it was a disappointment would have been a massive understatement. I think a 21-point win for Arsgull Rhys really didn't do them any favours at all. You know, they were head and shoulders above anything that Gael Coláiste Mura had for them. And look, it's not an ideal quarter final insofar as they didn't really receive a test, if you know what I mean. They will go into the semi final not having been really put to the pin of their collar in any of their games, and you know, it's hard for them even as a team to gauge where they are considering the run they've had, but that'll all change, I suppose, when they go into the next round.
Absolutely, but there is no doubt that they are a very accomplished side. There's no doubt about that, and they're rightly favourites to win the competition. When you just look through the team sheet and the type of individuals that they have on it, And I was speaking to some sources about the Hattie Cup in the past week and the lead into the quarterfinals. Like, there was a small bit of expectation about Gaelic Scoil Coláiste de Mura, like who are the All North man and one of the great traditionalists in the Hattie Cup. And there was an expectation that maybe that they wouldn't overturn North Scoil Reach, but they certainly would give him a game of it. But that hasn't certainly happened, whether it was they failed to show up on the day or North Scoil Reach were that good. I'm inclined to go with the latter, because I think North Scoil are a very, very, very accomplished side.
Yeah, and Matt, I'd agree with you there. I don't think North Scoil really gave them, they didn't give them a sniff. You know, they really, really didn't. And, a 1-9 to a point at half time and 11 point lead. You know, this game
The game was put to bed in the first half, effectively.
It was. And look, that's, you know, I'd even give credit to Ard Scoil in the manner in which they pursued the second half, because, you know, yourself, a 12 point lead, we saw it with Limerick and Kerry in the co-op competition.
Yeah,
you know, if you have that kind of, I see
they shuffled the pack and emptied the bench there, that they brought in four or five subs, you know, and you had fellas competing for places at that stage.
Exactly. It was. I suppose at that point, with all due respect to North Mon and Arthur Gael Coláiste de Mura, it was reduced to a training session by the halftime break. And look, it's. I know that they have that Ard Scoil and Middleton have unfinished business, and I wouldn't be surprised to see those two in a final.
Yeah, I think it would look as if they would certainly be favourites at this remove. But spare a thought about CBC now. St. Coleman's were beaten in the Hattie Cup final last year. They won the Dean Ryan last year, so they had the nucleus of a very, very good side. I saw them in the manner in which they dismissed John the Baptist. And they certainly went into favourites into their quarterfinal with CBC, and CBC overturned them and did so quite comfortably. By the way, Limerick minor goalkeeper Dahi Heffernan plays with CBC. He's their goalkeeper.
Okay.
And I think certainly it will be a totally different challenge that CBC are likely to provide to Napiershik, to Ard Scoil Reach, and they certainly will be tested in the semi-final. There's no question about that. And they will definitely need a test. They will definitely need a test, and it's in their own interest to get a severe test before they would head into a final, which is going to be against either Middleton, with whom they have a bit of a record in the last 12 months, or against Templemore. Now, you will remember they have unfinished business with Middleton, who knocked them out in the quarterfinal last year, knocked Ard Scoil out after a replay in Banshee, and they were in the same group this year, and there was only a point between them. So the indications are that the two will probably qualify for the final. I think Middleton will probably get the better of Templemore. Templemore have only three survivors from last year's team that won the Hearty and won the All Ireland. But I think Middleton will win that one. But I think CBC are quite capable of asking serious questions of Ard Scoil. They may not ask enough. Ard Scoil will probably prevail, but it will be the type of challenge and the type of game that, if anything, will improve Ard Scoil.
Matt, just on an aside, and I know it's something that we hadn't scheduled to chat about, but if you look at the likes of the Hearty, where Limerick teams are competitive and at the business end of it, if you look at the colleges with regards to the Fitzgibbon, where Limerick colleges are to the fore, if you look at Napiercig and the Limerick Club Championship, which really seems to be one of the blue ribbon club championships in the country, geez, Matt, like, we've an awful lot of positive stuff going for Limerick hurling. Surely be to God we can draw enough talent out of that to make a challenge for an All Ireland sometime soon.
Hopefully, we've been talking about this now, unfortunately, for 40, 45 years now this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a conundrum. I just don't have the answer. You're right. There are so many positives on so many fronts that, like, the trick is at this stage, if we can harness all that positivity into the months of May and June and this year in the new championship, who knows? But it's not going to be easy.
No, certainly not. But look, Matt, we know that that's not going to be easy. And I suppose bringing it round to Limerick's preparation to hopefully make that challenge on two fronts this year, National League and in the Championship. I don't know if it's just January that has me so positive, Matt. But the performances to date in the Munster Senior Hurling League, or the Co-op Superstores Senior Hurling League, victory over Kerry, victory over Cork. Obviously, the fact that they were going to be playing Clare in the last round has been brought forward to avoid a dead rubber. And Matt, I suppose satisfactory is what you draw from the two performances today. And Limerick going to Clare, you know, another step up again from what they've probably faced in the last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's definitely going to be a step up. Cork fielded a very much weakened team in the first round. Kerry were genuinely poor. Limerick had the job done at half time. Clare are going to be a step up. They won the Finway tournament. They're looking impressive. They had a rather experimental team in the first round when they beat Kerry in LIT, but they rolled out quite a few of the big guns against Cork and Innes last Sunday. So they're going gung-ho. But of course, they have a huge National League opener at the end of the month when they entertain Tipperary and Cusick Park in Innes. So it'll be all guns blazing with both sides on Sunday, and I think it'll give John Kiely a better opportunity than the two previous. And all he could do for the last two weekends was play what was put in front of him, and that's an old cliche, but that's the way it is. But he will get a much greater idea, I think, when he's finished with Clare on Sunday evening as to exactly where he is and at what level of preparation Limerick are for the forthcoming National League. Now he's going to have the added complication as this month goes on, because there could be up to 18 of 17 or 18 of his squad involved in the Fitzgibbon Cup, and we're going to have a crash course of colleges hurling with the way it's restructured now at the end of the month. I think you have the three games played over 10 days. It's starting on Sunday the 21st, and the third round I think is scheduled for something like the following Wednesday week. It's that type of crash course. So That's going to interrupt his preparations for the visit of Laois at the end of the month. But you're right, he will definitely have a clear, much clearer and more vivid indication of exactly where Limerick are after the visit of Clare. But just on a general point, Raphael, I honestly think that these pre-season competitions at this point are moribund at this time. No, because with the league being brought forward a couple of weeks, and you saw that Tipperary and Waterford gave the Munster Senior Hurling League a wide berth. Three counties, our own, Limerick, Kerry and Tipperary, pulled out of the McGrath Cup. You just don't see these competitions having a future, I think.
Yeah, Matt, look, it seems that they're very much a dying breed of competition. And like you said, with National Leagues being brought forward, and especially with the, you know, with the college competitions kicking off in January as well, they seem a bit redundant in this day and age.
Absolutely, and like we have a massive calendar in front of us for 2018, like we have every year, but more so this year because it's a step somewhat into the unknown with the complete revamp of the Senior Hurling Championship and having, we'd say, 4 months of Senior Hurling Championship games. When did we ever play 4 months of Senior Hurling Championship games? It wasn't possible to do it unless you were involved in a replay. It has been very, very unusual. And to be doing it in 5 weeks, like, it's going to tax everybody to fix everything, to fit everything into the calendar. And then you'll have Limerick's preparations, you know, disturbed again for the league because of Napiershik's involvement in the club championship. Napiershik are due to play Slochneil on the 10th of February and hopefully get over that. They'll be involved right up to St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah,
and so, it's a minefield at the moment.
Yeah, and Matt, for a Limerick side, I suppose, who'll be putting, again, so much stock into trying their best to get out of 1B of the National Hurling League, being shorn of the Napiershik players is far from ideal.
Far from ideal. Absolutely far from ideal. And for the first round, and no disrespect to Laois, I suppose it's lucky that it's Laois we have in the first round. Like, unlike last year when we had a trip to Wexford in the first round, we have Laois at home, which on paper should be a winnable game, because so many players will be involved during that period with the Fitzgibbon Cup. That might be just a lucky break for Limerick, but. Getting out of 1B, it certainly is not going to be easy. Like Dublin, they will have the same idea, and certainly Galway, and of course, you never know what Offaly will come up with.
Yeah, look, it's again, like I said, you know, John Kiley, I suppose, must be looking around going, geez, I could really do with these Napiershik lads. But having said that, Matt, though, there is more than enough talent in the panel that he has available to him to at least set up that decider with Galway towards the end of the National League.
There certainly is. There certainly is. But the point I'm making is that for the early rounds, he will have there will be a certain level of distraction with the Fitzgibbon Cup because you will have to. Then we have players involved with up to six colleges, so it's reasonable to assume, and the final isn't fixed until the 24th of February, that it's fair to say that some of the Limerick players will be involved right up to the final because they're involved with the three Limerick colleges. There's players involved with both UCC and CIT, and Seamus Flanagan is involved with one of the Dublin colleges.
Okay, yeah. So I suppose, yeah, true. It's a hectic schedule. Matt, how do you see the game with Clare going at the weekend? How do you see Limerick coming out of it?
Well, I was impressed with some of the things I saw from with Limerick in the first half last Sunday, but they were very, very poor in the second half. And that could be attributed mainly to two reasons. And John pinpointed after the game to us, he pinpointed the possibility of they're taking their foot off the gas. But and he also made the point, which I think was probably more the reason most of them were involved in them. In a hard challenge game with UL 24 hours earlier. So I suppose, and the ground, no matter how dry a particular day at this time of the year, the ground is energy sapping, and two full games for some of the players, certainly in 24 hours, was far from ideal. And that probably clicked in, and Kerry just got a few things together in the second half. But in the first half, you would have to say that Limerick ticked a lot of boxes and they looked good. They gave first run outs to they gave full debuts to Dara Fanning and Willem O'Mara, and neither of them looked lost. They did quite well. They gave a first start to Barry Murphy. He had previously come on as a sub. I thought he did very, very well. And then they gave Paddy O'Loughlin a debut in the second half, and it's all positive. But the second half was a cause for worry. But there are underlying reasons as to why it was. Clare will be tough, but it always brings out the best in Limerick, the side of the Clare jersey. I think Limerick will give it a good shot. Clare are probably a bit further down the road in terms of preparation, and in that they went to Boston, they won the Finway tournament, and they have a bit of early season momentum built up. But look, this all comes with a health warning. We're only into the second week of January.
Exactly, Matt. Speaking of second week of January, there's no, there's certainly no rest for the wicked when it comes to the ladies and the Camogie, which sees their National League campaign kicking off at the weekend in Rathkeel against Dublin. And a tasty tie, I suppose, to kick off their campaign. And look, we saw the Camogie last year, Matt. They won their first ever Munster title. A lot was expected in their All-Ireland campaign. And look, it just seemed to fall a bit flat for a finish for Limerick. You know, I don't know how much they invested in the Munster campaign, that they just fell flat in the All-Ireland. But I suppose they'll be going into this year buoyed by the fact that they are the Munster champions and looking to kind of put the disappointments of last year behind them, focus on the positives, and have a right good crack at both competitions this year.
Yeah, well, I had a long chat with John Toohey in the week, and they've reached the semi-final of the league in each of the last 3 years, and you're right, they've won the Munster Championship for the first time. But John was at pains to point out that this he thinks it's far too early, that it's at least 2 weeks, if not 4 weeks, too early to be starting the campaign. And I think he's absolutely right in that. But he was making the point to me very forcibly that he was disappointed with the championship performance last year. You recall we just got one win, and it was a very, very good win against Tipperary in the Rag, and which would suggest, you know, that maybe with a bit of luck, Limerick would have done much better. Certainly they would have done much better. They were unlucky against Offaly in the first round in the Gaelic grounds when they lost by a point. But he was making the point that this year that the league is going to be used as a build-up to the championship, and that he wasn't setting a target for the league this year, but he was more or less setting a target for the championship to get to at least the quarterfinal or possibly a semi-final. And the league this year, it affords him an opportunity to experiment. To have Limerick have 5 games in it. Now he also was making the point that, like, if you were talking in terms of people of counties from the group, that Limerick and Dublin were of a much similar level, and that they would certainly be among the counties that would be vying to qualify for the semi-final this year. Dublin reached the All-Ireland semi-final last year and gave a very good account of themselves against Kilkenny, and they're managed by former Kilkenny goalkeeper David Herity. So there is a big revival in Dublin Camogie at the moment. So they're not going to be an easy nut to crack, even in McNeville Park. So it'll be a very, very interesting game now. Limerick have hit the ground running for the last couple of years in the first round of the Camogie, including, you will recall, beating Cork in the first round 2 years ago and creating a bit of a shock. It's certainly going to be a mouth-watering tie to open the campaign on Sunday. Limerick have a new captain. Sarah Carey has been appointed captain. Cuaiva Costello is the vice captain this year. It's going to be a very, very interesting game. It will be very interesting to see to what extent that John Toohey is going to experiment with it. There are a few regulars who are not available to him for various reasons this year. There are 4 or 5, well, not available at the moment anyway. So it's likely that we're going to see a couple of new faces, and there's a couple of returnees as well that have returned to the squad that for various reasons missed out last year. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is, Matt. Again, I suppose that the good thing about a new year, the good thing about a new season, is that everyone starts at a clean slate. Everyone starts from zero, and you know, that's the refreshing thing about January.
Yeah, it's the refreshing thing about January, and I suppose getting back to Dublin in the groove after that meet. Limerick play, they travel to meet the following week, and I think in the third round they entertain Clare. Round four they travel to Kilkenny, who are going for three in a row this year, and in the fifth round I think they have Waterford at home. So they're teams around their own level, so it's an opportunity now, I think, this year for Limerick to drive on, and I think John's approach is absolutely correct.
I suppose finally, Matt, before we go, our colleague Jerome O'Connell in the Limerick Leader this morning reporting that Tom Ryan of South Liberties is transferring to Dublin. I suppose, Matt, a guy that, you know, wasn't involved last year, but that you know, a talented hurler gone through the slip through the net nonetheless.
Yeah, I would rate Tom Ryan as a very, very, very good player, and right from the time I saw him playing as a minor, I thought he was an absolutely outstanding prospect with both South Liberties and Limerick. I understand you told me off air that he's transferring to Coola.
Yeah.
And is the transfer to Dublin as well? Is he transferring his allegiance to Dublin as well?
Yes, from Jerome's report, former Limerick senior hurler Tom Ryan has transferred to Dublin. So yeah, and we'll be switching to All Ireland club champions Coola.
Right. Well, you would have to say what is South Liberties and Limerick's loss is Coola's and Dublin's gain. I think Tom Ryan will certainly make it with Coola, and I think he will certainly make it with Dublin. He's a player in my opinion with huge potential, and I rate Tom Ryan as a very, very, very good player.
Yeah, Matt, I suppose, look, that's really a wrap on our first podcast of the new year. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's only January, and we seem to have been very much thrown in at the deep end. But look, it's great to have GA back. You miss it when it's gone, and now that it's back, you're up to your neck in it.
Yeah, but this year it was never away. It was never away because we had the county premier under 21 football final, which brought us right into Christmas. And then before the new year started, we had the Munster Senior League. So it's 52 weeks now, and practically 7 days a week now at this stage, with midweek and games on the lights and all that goes on and the bits and pieces. So yeah, it's back, and If this is what the second week in January is like, what's it going to be like the second week in June? I shudder to think, but look, we look forward to it nevertheless.